Welcome to Westgate Messages Plus, where we share our Sunday messages and bonus content. We hope you enjoy this deeper dive into God's Word and how it transforms our everyday lives. Thanks so much for tuning in.
We want to thank you for taking the time to be here tonight. It's a big weekend for us as a church family, for all believers everywhere, of course. But it is so, so important that we gather together before Sunday comes that we have tonight. And we hope that what is happening here is an experience that draws you closer to Christ the Savior who died on your behalf. We hope that you are reflecting in whatever way feels most appropriate, whatever way God is speaking to you specifically today. We hope that you're feeling that and experiencing that. What I want to do is just take a few minutes here before we receive communion together to share with you the way I've been processing and thinking about this Good Friday this year, share a few thoughts with you, which is, as you heard Dorothy speak at the beginning of our service as we opened, these definitions of sort of voids. That's what I wanted to share with you. So Dorothy spoke about the void of silence. And silence is a void that happens because there is no sound, right? Now that sounds really simplistic. It sounds very basic. But it's a different way of thinking about it, right? We kind of create silence in our minds to be this thing that we can grasp or experience when really silence is a loss or it's a removal of something. It's like cold. In the same way, cold is, it's nothing but a void. If you look at the definition of what cold is, it's being void of heat. To the degree that you're cold is to the degree that you have lost heat. You've removed heat from the situation. I would use the same thinking in the idea of loneliness. Many of us have experienced loneliness at different seasons of our life, right? Loneliness isn't really a thing. What loneliness is it's a void. It's a void of relationship. It's a void of connection. It's a lack of or a loss of the people and the relationships that we want in our lives, right? And what naturally happens in these voids is a longing, or it's a desire, it's a wanting for something more. It's a wanting for that void to be filled, right? Now, some of us like a moment of silence now and then, but after a while, what we really want is something to fill the silence, something to fill the void, whether it be music or a conversation or nature, the sounds of birds singing, whatever it might be, right? There's a longing there. Just like with cold, how many of us are longing and wanting for it to not be cold so much anymore, right? We're waiting for that void to get filled, hopefully next week, right? That's what they're telling us anyway, right? Of course, if you're experiencing or have experienced loneliness, that's the same thing. It's your longing, your desiring, your wanting that void to be filled by someone or some people to help you not feel so alone. And we experience this all over, different times of life, different places. It just so happens that this week, I went 3 days without my work computer at the same time as I've now gone 2 weeks without my car because both of them were broken and were in getting repairs. That's a void. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever lost your phone? Have you ever not been able to find your keys? Right? What do you? You want nothing more than for that void to be filled, right? I don't even like my car that much, but still, I just want it back, right? These voids happen in other times, other places. Maybe it's a season where you've lost a job. And you're waiting for that void to be filled, both for a sense of purpose and meaning and then for the income. Maybe it's because you have moved from far away or moved too far away from the family or friends that you grew up with, and there's that void there, that lack of connection, right? That distance can create sometimes. This can happen on a deeper level. We can have voids in our life when we suffer a loss. That's what grief is. It's a longing to be connected to that person again. It's a longing to have that person back in your life. I would describe depression as a void. It's a lack of joy. It's a lack of lightness. It's a lack of clarity. Well, there's two voids that, pun intended, are unavoidable tonight. Okay? Two voids that we have to acknowledge that I've been thinking about as I've been kind of reflecting on Good Friday. One is the death of Jesus, which is nothing more than a void of life. That's what death is. It's a lack or a loss of life. And if you want to think about it for a minute, what the death of Jesus really did is it created this gap. It created this void in the hearts and the minds of people living in that day who had been waiting for so long. God's people had been waiting so long for their Messiah to come. And he came and he taught and he showed them the way and he performed miracles and he gathered all of this rallying crowd around him and he showed them this idea of hope, and then he was gone. And then he wasn't alive anymore. The Prince of Peace, the light of the world, wasn't there. And so we spend this time between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, we spend this time recognizing that void. Recognizing that there was a period of time where God's one and only Son was not alive. The only period in history where God and his Son were not together were during those days. And the other void that we have to acknowledge here and that we want to be thinking about this weekend is this void of light. That's why we're kind of living in darkness. I can hardly see you guys right now. That's why we're going to leave tonight in darkness. Because before you can have any sort of light, there has to be a darkness. There has to be a void of that light. I believe in my heart of hearts that that's why the story goes, this is the way Mark tells it, at noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock, middle of the day. 3 hours of darkness. Then, at 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, my God, why have you abandoned me? Then he uttered another loud cry, and he breathed his last. And there's this gap that caused so much suffering and pain for the people of that day. And it's right for us to feel sad tonight. It's right for us to grieve that that gap had to take place, that that void of darkness was necessary in order for us to be saved. That's what the story is telling us. And I think if you're looking for something to take with you tonight, it would be the understanding that God understands your voids. He sees and understands the gaps that you're experiencing in your life, the spaces where you are longing to have something fill you up, longing for something to be clarified. God has experienced a void like that when he gave up his Son, and so he knows what it feels like. And so a question for all of us to think about tonight is, what is it that we are longing for this Easter season? What are we hoping for? What are we needing? What are we desperate for? And what we hope you will reflect on tonight and tomorrow and as we prepare to move into Easter Sunday is that in order for our voids to be filled, in order for the gaps of our lives to be filled, God made a trade. He experienced a void. He allowed for the death of his Son. He allowed for the removal of his Son's life. He allowed for the darkness so that we could have our voids filled. And that is a beautiful reality. That is a tragic reality. That because of the brokenness of our world, because of the sinfulness of our hearts, it was necessary for God to do something that he never wanted to do. Something that caused great tragedy and pain in God's heart, which was to make this sacrifice on our behalf. And then you look at the world around us, and you just see that we're completely devoid of hope in so many ways, right? It certainly feels that way. You look at our culture that feels like it's slipping, and you look at the news where you see nothing but rage and anger and violence and desperation and longing and poverty and homelessness and refugees and political corruption and hardship and pain and struggle and suffering. It's surrounding us. It's almost like we're living in a void. And I don't know about you, but we're just longing. We're just desperate for hope. We're desperate for life. We're desperate for something that can help us to feel peace. We're desperate for some light in the midst of all this darkness. And by God's design, there's this period of time every year that comes around where we just sit in that. We don't get overly hyped or excited about Sunday morning yet because we need to recognize the darkness that existed. We need to feel the weight of that if we truly want to appreciate what we know is coming on Sunday. It's a movie quote, which it's from one of my favorite movies, but it just means so much to this season and this scenario. So this is what I would like to share before we move into communion, which is this quote from a movie called The Dark Knight. It's a superhero movie. But the quote is this: "The night is darkest just before the dawn, but the dawn is coming." Right? And so what communion is going to look like tonight is, I hope, a personal reflection for you. I hope it's a moment where before you come forward to receive communion, you take a minute to realize that there are gaps in your life. There are things that you're longing for or waiting for or hoping for, whether it be comfort or companionship or peace of mind or positivity or some new meaning or purpose or whatever it might be. Acknowledge that that gap exists before you come forward tonight. Because what we find is that because Jesus gave up, he didn't avoid the cross. He, in fact, gave up his body and gave up his blood. Now we receive communion from him. We receive the body. We receive the blood, and it does this miraculous thing. It fills in all the little cracks and crevices in our hearts. It fills in all those longings and all those needs. It's what Christ has done for us on the cross. And so as our communion servers come forward, as our band comes forward, I'd like to share with you what we call the words of institution, the words that Jesus shared with his followers on the night of the Last Supper. He took bread from the table, he broke it, he gave thanks for it, and he said, "This is my body given for you. When you eat of this, remember me." Then he took a cup from the table, he said, "This cup is the new promise of my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins, for the filling of your voids." He said, "Receive this and remember me." Tonight, how we're going to do this is when you're ready, certainly feel free to take your time. When you're ready, you'll come forward, you'll come down these middle two aisles, and you'll work your way out. You'll receive a cracker, hold that in your hand. You'll dip that into this shared cup. We communally come together, this shared cup, and then you'll receive the communion before you head out to the edges, back to your seat. All right, let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, the miracle of the cross is that every broken person who has ever walked the face of this earth gets to come before you, bend a knee, and with thanks, receive the answer. Receive the solution. Receive the grace and the mercy and the meaning that we need so desperately. And we are sorry that it was necessary, Jesus. And we are sorry that even after tonight, we will continue to be sinners. But right now in this moment, we are grateful for what you've done and what you are doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.